Chapter 8. Seldom drunk as sober. For the rest, he is an old bachelor, and he lives in a little antiquated hole of a house that was never finished. Supposed to be built, so far, of stone stolen from the city wall. To this abode there is an approach, ankle deep in stone chips, resembling a petrified grove of tombstones, urns, draperies, unbroken columns, in all stages of sculpture. Herein two journeymen incessantly chip, while other two journeymen, who face each other, incessantly saw stone, dipping as regularly in and out of their sheltering sentry boxes, as if they were mechanical figures emblematical of time and death. To Durdles, when he had consumed his glass of port, Mr. Sapsia interests that precious effort of his muse. Durdles unfeelingly takes out his 2-foot rule, and measures the lines calmly, alloying them with stone grit. This is for the monument, is it, Mr. Sapsia? ... the inscription. Yes. ... Mr. Sapsia waits for its effect on the common mind. It'll come into a 1/8 of a inch, ... says Durdles. Your servant, Mr. Jasper. Hope I see you well. ... How are you, Durdles? ... I've got a touch of the tombatism on me, Mr. Jasper, but that I must expect. ... You mean the rheumatism, ... says Sapsia, in a sharp tone. He is nettled by having his composition so mechanically received. No, I don't. I mean, Mr. Sapsia, the tombatism. It's another sort from rheumatism. Mr. Jasper knows what Durdles means. You get among them tombs afore it's well light on a winter morning, and keep on, as the catechism says, a walking in the same all the days of your life, and you'll know what Durdles means. ... It is a bitter cold place, ... Mr. Jasper assents, with an antipathetic shiver. And if it's bitter cold for you, up in the chancel, with a lot of live breath smoking out about you, what the bitterness is to Durdles, down in the crypt among the earthy damps there, and the dead breath of the old uns, returns that individual, Durdles leaves you to judge. Is this to be put in hand at once, Mr. Sapsia? ... Mr. Sapsia, with an author's anxiety to rush into publication, replies that it cannot be out of hand too soon. You had better let me have the key then, says Durdles. Why, man, it is not to be put inside the monument. ... Durdles knows where it's to be put, Mr. Sapsia, no man better. Ask your a man in Cloisterham, whether Durdles knows his work. Mr. Sapsia rises, takes a key from a drawer, unlocks an iron safe let into the wall, and takes from it another key. When Durdles puts a touch or a finish upon his work, no matter where, inside or outside, Durdles likes to look at his work all round, and see that his work is a doing him credit, Durdles explains, doggedly. The key proffered him by the bereaved widower, being a large one, he slips his 2-foot rule into a side pocket of his flannel trousers made for it, and deliberately opens his flannel coat, and opens the mouth of a large breast pocket within it, before taking the key, to place it in that repository. Why, Durdles? ... exclaims Jasper, looking on amused, you are undermined with pockets. ... and I carries weight in them too, Mr. Jasper. Feel those. ... producing 2 other large keys. Hand me Mr. Sapsia's likewise. Surely this is the heaviest of the 3. ... you'll find them much of a muchness, I expect, says Durdles. They all belong to monuments. They all open Durdles' work. Durdles keeps the keys of his work mostly. Not that they're much used. By the by, it comes into Jasper's mind to say, as he idly examines the keys, I have been going to ask you, many a day, and have always forgotten. You know they sometimes call you Stony Durdles, don't you? Cloisterham knows me as Durdles, Mr. Jasper. I am aware of that, of course. But the boy sometimes apostrophe, oh, if you mind the young imps of boys apostrophe Durdles gruffly interrupts. I don't mind them any more than you do. But there was a discussion the other day among the choir, whether Stony stood for Tony, apostrophe clinking one key against another. Take care of the warts, Mr. Jasper, apostrophe, or whether Stony stood for Stephen, apostrophe clinking with a change of keys. You can't make a pitch pipe of 'em, Mr. Jasper, apostrophe, or whether the name comes from your trade. How stands the fact? Apostrophe, Mr. Jasper weighs the three keys in his hand, lifts his head from his idly stooping attitude over the fire, and delivers the keys to Durdles with an ingenuous and friendly face. But the stony one is a gruff one likewise, and that hazy state of his is always an uncertain state, highly conscious of its dignity, and prone to take offense. He drops his two keys back into his pocket one by one, and buttons them up. He takes his dinner bundle from the chair back on which he hung it when he came in. He distributes the weight he carries, by tying the third key up in it, as though he were an ostrich, and liked to dine off cold iron. And he gets out of the room, deigning no word of answer. Mr. Sapsia then proposes a hit at backgammon, which, seasoned with his own improving conversation, and terminating in a supper of cold roast beef and salad, beguiles the golden evening until pretty late. Mr. Sapsia's wisdom being, in its delivery to mortals, rather of the diffuse than the epigrammatic order, is by no means expended even then, but his visitor intimates that he will come back for more of the precious commodity on future occasions, and Mr. Sapsia lets him off for the present, to ponder on the installment he carries away. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.